Now, we are doing a series in this church. It's called Shaping Up for the Summer. This little leaflet here. And the reason we're doing it, well, you know, bodies are important. I'm very attached to my body. It's far from perfect, but it's the only one I've got. I want to look after it. I haven't got another one. This is all there is. And so I'm very keen on kind of looking after it. I'm very keen on going for sort of medical checks, that kind of thing. In fact, my doctor, yeah, is David Haynes here? My doctor is a member of this congregation. I'm always popping in for little checkups and tests and stuff, you know. And my wife, Anne, says that I'm a hypochondriac. And when she says that, my reply to that is, nobody ever died of being a hypochondriac, you know. They only ever died of the things that weren't spotted if they hadn't gone in for the check. And, you know, our bodies are important. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle talks about the church, and he talks about the church in terms of a body. And like my body, the church is far from perfect. But this is the only body that Jesus now has. If you look around, you are the earthly body of Jesus. This is the only one he has. We're it. There's no plan B. So what do we need to do to make sure the body of Christ is working well? Well, wherever you come from, and we've got lots and lots of visitors here today, big welcome to you all. I hope what we're going to talk about is going to be helpful to you. Because wherever you're from, if you go to a church, if you're part of a congregation, then I'm sure there's going to be areas where your part of the body of Christ needs a bit of shaping up, as we also need. Now, what we discovered last time, a couple of weeks ago, was that the church is a huge mixture of people of different ages and sexes and backgrounds and races. There's different educational, racial, class and cultural backgrounds. And if you want to pull a group of people like that together and get them to operate together, there's only two ways of doing it. The first way is to have a really strict list of rules and put somebody in charge. Okay? The alternative, here we are, a bit like that. Okay? Like the army. They're all doing exactly what they're told to do. They're told what steps to take. Okay, no room for initiative, of course, but they actually do get the job done. A very limited job, but they get the job done. The law in the Old Testament was a bit like that. But the reality is, you know, that it's difficult to make much progress by just sticking to a list of rules. Your initiative goes out of the window. You spend all your time making sure you're obeying the rules, not using your own initiative. And that kind of group doesn't grow. It doesn't self-replicate. You don't suddenly start off with a battalion of soldiers and then suddenly at the end of the week, there's just double. That just doesn't happen. Soldiers don't do that. They just concentrate on obeying the rules. So we saw last time that if you want to make dynamic progress in the kingdom of God, there has to be another way. And the other way is for all these disparate groups of people, all these different people in church to operate as an organic whole, to be part of one organism, if you like, a single entity as one body, which is what Paul says here. Jesus does have a body. He has a human body here. It's not the same as his earthly ministry. It's all of us together. And we function together, which is really counterintuitive because you think to yourself, I'm looking at you all, and you're all a big mixture of different ages and backgrounds and cultures, and you think, well, this is bound to lead to collisions and disagreements, and yes, indeed, that does happen. The only way that this can work is for the Holy Spirit to weld us together into an organic whole, which goes on to expand and grow. Now, you know, the thing is that what the world does, the world decides that they want to work through important people. But, you know, the gospel does it a different way. The gospel says everyone's important. Now, I bet you there aren't many people here who can tell me who that person is. I know there's one person who definitely can. You can tell me, Bob, can't you? It's not the England captain. No. No? It's the Chelsea doctor. Okay, what's her name? Very good. Eva Carneiro. Now, actually, very few people know her. And I bet you before she was sacked by this man, Jose Mourinho, hardly anybody knew her. Is that right? But she's really, really important. She's really important. She looked after the players who were stretching their bodies to the limit. And she rushed onto the pitch when Jose Marino didn't want her to do so, but she felt medically she ought to do that, and he was so angry, he sacked her. And she's looking quite happy, actually, and the reason is she's got a seven-figure payoff. So, you know, let's not lose any sympathy for this lady, all right? But everyone's heard of, well, and if you follow football, everyone's heard of Fabregas and Cahill and Terry and all these people. Not many people would have been able to name that lady. And, you know, the church is, it's a bit like that as well. Most people in church know who the minister is. If you come to this church, you will know me. And people outside the church know me. But, you know, the church can do without a minister or without a vicar. This church proved it last year, because about this time last year, I went away for 3 months, and you carried on functioning perfectly well without me. You know, but tell you what, we really need clean toilets. Okay, people carried on coming to church when there was no vicar, but if the toilets weren't clean, I bet you some of you would stop coming. We've got a lady called Sarah Birkinshaw who cleans our toilets every week. All right, in the winter. We don't have the heating on at the moment, but in the winter, we need the heating, all right? Is Brian? Where's Brian Smallwood? Is he here? Where is he? There he is. There's Brian. Now, that man over there, Brian, he's nursed our boiler for ages. I mean, it's been actually on its last legs for ages, and he's nursed it through, and finally it has actually died, and we are actually going to get a new one in the next few weeks, all right? But without Brian nursing our boiler through the winter, we would have been freezing, and I bet you most of you would never have come, because it was just too jolly cold, okay? So, the point is, everyone's really important. You know, the guy who looks after the heating is really important. The lady who cleans the toilet is really, really important. This is not a sop. This is reality. You can do without a vicar. You can't do without clean toilets. At least you can't do without clean toilets in this country. Now, how does the Holy Spirit make sure that everybody does their part? And the way that he does it is by using spiritual gifts and then empowering spiritual people. And to a lot of us, the passages that we read are very familiar. Very familiar to me, certainly. And Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians 12 about spiritual gifts. And the Greek word for spiritual gift is charisma. We talk about charisma, people having charisma. And actually, the plural is charismata. Charismata. So, charis is the Greek word for grace. These are gifts of grace. They are freely given by God's Holy Spirit. And what Paul says is when we show up, when we come to church, these are the kind of things we can expect to see. So we can expect a word of wisdom where the Holy Spirit tells us what to do in a particular situation. We can expect a word of knowledge where the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural knowledge which we otherwise not know. A word of faith. Faith. This is not just ordinary saving faith. I think Paul is talking about something more extraordinary than that, where God is calling us to do something. Really, we're right on the edge there, and the Lord is really needs to give us faith that he's going to carry us through. Healing, where we can come to the Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can others can declare healing over us. A spiritual gift. Miraculous powers, miracles, to see the Holy Spirit reverse the laws of nature, like when Jesus walked on water. Prophecy. Now, prophecy does not just mean inspired preaching, okay? You might think I'm inspired, you might not, but even if you thought I was inspired, this is not prophecy. Prophecy means God gives you a message and you speak it out, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Nahum and Ezekiel. That is what prophecy means. That's the biblical definition of prophecy. You can see that in the Acts of the Apostle too. Discernment, or distinguishing between spirits, the gift of being able to decide in any particular situation whether what you're seeing is the activity of the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit or the person concerned, or it's just not spiritual at all. Speaking in tongues, a new heavenly language, and a lot of people speak in tongues. The vicar speaks in tongues. Speaking in tongues ever since I've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for 40 years, and almost as long as that time. Okay, it's a very common gift. A lot of people here will speak in tongues. Not everybody speaks in tongues. Paul says that, but a lot of people do. And also to interpret tongues. When you give a message in tongues in a meeting or in a service, Paul says you have to be able to interpret it. Now, we've not got time to go through all of this in any more detail than that, but those of you who are regular members We've got some training on all sorts of different things in the autumn. Pick up one of these cards on the way out, and this will tell you about some. We're going to be dealing with the gifts of the Spirit as part of that training. Now, three key points. The first is that spiritual gifts are essential. We cannot get the job done without them. We cannot get the job done without them. Whoops. There you go. Yeah. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. Okay? We need these gifts of the Spirit for our common good. And this is the way the Holy Spirit operates. Secondly, we're not talking about human talents or abilities, though I'm sure and I do know that lots of you do have lots of human talents and abilities. We're talking about something that God gives us. They come from the Holy Spirit of God. And then the third is that it is the Holy Spirit who distributes them. We can't do a training course. We can't get an exam. We don't fill in an application form. It's all down to the Lord. And I've noticed that a lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings about the way the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. And I thought, well, we need a visual aid. So I have a visual aid here. A box of heroes. A box of heroes. You're all heroes, aren't you? So look. Yeah, great. So here we go. Now, the thing is, just imagine this is a box of spiritual gifts. How is the Holy Spirit going to distribute them? Well, does he do it purely at random? You know, you just happened to get some sweets. Yeah. Now, I don't think it's random. I don't think it's random. Paul says one of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one of them individually just as he wills. Okay. Maybe he does this another way. Maybe he gives it to special people. Mike, you're church warden. Let me give you a sweet. Oh, look, Berno, youth minister. Let me give you a sweet. Okay. You guys, forget it. Maybe, because I'm the vicar, I get all the sweets. No. Because, what does Paul say? To eat one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one. So everybody gets one. Actually, I haven't got quite enough for everybody. Have to give me. That's where the analogy is going to break down. Okay. Maybe he does it. Lindy, he does it this way. Lindy, come out. Okay. Choose a sweet. Right. Okay. Is that the way it works? Don't think it quite works that way. You see, we don't always get what we choose. One and the same Spirit distributes. Okay? We don't just grab and say, actually, I'm going to have prophecy, thank you very much. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not random. It's not casual. Okay? It's deliberate. What have we got here? Dairy milk. Caramel, 12. Maud. I think you're a caramel girl. Yes? Yeah, caramel. There we are, got it right. Got it right. Who we have? Bob. Dairy milk for you, I think. Yeah, dairy milk for you. And, here we are, Caroline. Oh, you can have one of these nice creamy ones, okay? Isn't that nice? I've dropped one. Okay, go for it later. Yeah. Okay. That's how it works. That's how it works, you know. And yet, God has a wonderful way, actually, of linking with our personality and who we are. Okay. So, let's think. What we've got here. So we've got David. You worked hard this morning. So we've got chocolate eclairs. We've got twirls. We got fudge. Which of these would you like?
I'll take the lot.
No. That's greedy. That is greedy. So which? Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Are you? Do you really want it?
Already.
You're convinced.
Absolutely.
Okay, because you really want it. Good, okay. Now, because, interesting thing that Paul says, is he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Okay? That's what he says. Now, the word for earnestly desire, it means boiling with passion. It's the same word that we get zealous from. We're really desperate for them, you know? And so the Holy Spirit is giving away something of himself. And he's not going to do that if we aren't bothered, you know? Now, the thing is that some people find this whole spiritual gifts thing really scary. I've never understood it, but I know that it's true. I know that it's true. And in particular, people get scared by a word. The word is charismatic, okay? They think charismatic means kind of bonkers, Pentecostal, you know, foaming at the mouth, fundamentalist loonies, all right? Now, the word charismatic is the word that Paul uses for this, okay? He does. And it's a biblical label. I go so far as to say, if you aren't operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and it's not just the 9 I've mentioned to you, there are about 23, 24 gifts of the Spirit mentioned in the Old and New Testaments. If you aren't operating in one of those, you're selling yourself short in terms of the kingdom of God. And there's no need to be scared, because these are the gifts of a loving father. What does Jesus say? Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then know, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So the Father wants to give good gifts to his children. And he wants us to receive it. He wants us to receive it. Each one of us, he's got spiritual gifts for each one of us. If we know and love the Lord Jesus, please receive them. Because we can't do without the Father's gifts. But he can do all sorts of amazing things through us if we're open to him. I had a very interesting experience on Friday. I went to this place, New Wine. I try and go to New Wine every year. It's a fantastic camp. It's down in Somerset. And there were 13,000 plus people there. I went there with a friend. I met lots of other friends when I was there. And at the end of the night, on Sunday, Friday night, they had a big meeting, just like that. And the speaker, a guy called Simon Ponsonby, a very well-known speaker, was due to get up and give a sermon. But he said, look, I feel that I shouldn't be speaking this evening. So he laid his sermon down. And he said, I think this is a time for people to give their lives to Jesus. So that's what he did. He got up and he said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come to the front. Now, you might be surprised to hear that on a Christian camp, there are a lot of people who go there who are not Christians. And loads of people went down the front and they got little copies of Why Jesus, little red booklets. We got some at the back. And they were all led to Christ. And then they came back. And this included a couple who were just right in front of me, a young man and a young woman, probably, I thought, late teens, early 20s. And then he said, right now, we want to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he asked people to go forward again. So loads of people, even more people went forward this time, including this young couple. And he said, right, we need people to pray. So if you do prayer ministry in your church, would you please come forward and pray? Because we need lots of people to pray. So I thought, okay, I'll go forward. So I went forward. And as it turns out, I ended up with a man who had just been standing in front of me. And that kind of worked because I went down the same aisle he did. And there was nobody praying with him. So I said, can I pray with you? What's your name? His name was Matthew. He was from Manchester. And so I started to pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then suddenly the leader of the meeting read out this verse about the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children are for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And it was that reference to children, and suddenly that suddenly sparked something in my spirit. And I said to him, are you married? Do you have children? And he said, I feel I need to pray for your children. But he said, do you have any children? So he said, well, I'm not married, but I do have 3 children. And his life had clearly been a total mess. He had 3 children by 2 separate mothers. The first 2 have been adopted and he never sees them. The last one he sees very occasionally. He'd had a background in heroin abuse and all sorts of stuff. And was clearly desolated by no longer seeing the children he'd fathered. And I was able to pray for him and pray for his children and pray for his him being a father, and pray for him to keep a connection with those children. And I really felt God say for me to pass on to him, this was a new start. And I also said, and also the prayers we pray for your children are for the children you will have in the future. And you may not see the prayers we've given for the children already. You may never see that, but you will see those prayers coming good for the children you will have in the future. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And what was going on there, and it's nothing extraordinary, you might say, but God gave a word of wisdom. How do you pray for this guy in this particular situation? Well, I didn't know him. And a word of prophecy, a word of reassurance, you see. And this is the only way the Holy Spirit's going to get the job done. This is the only way the Holy Spirit will get the job done. If we're going to go and take the world for Jesus, if we are, our vision for this church is to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. This is the only way it can happen. It's the only way. The Holy Spirit needs to take us and take us outside, and through conversations and meetings like that, interaction like that, the Holy Spirit can work right through our community and transform it. Can you see? So, God is saying to all of us, not just the vicar, not just the people in leadership, not just the people who stand up here, all of us, the Holy Spirit is for us. His gifts are for us.